living longer and staying healthier. It's Healthy Talk with Dr. Michael Smith, MD. Here's your host, Dr. Mike.
All right, welcome back. I'm here with Dr. Kenneth Wallander. He's a board-certified family doctor, works in functional medicine, and I love this. He specializes in, quote, difficult-to-treat, end quote, medical conditions such as hypothyroidism. Dr. Wallander, welcome back to Healthy Talk.
Thank you. To you, Dr. Mike.
So let me ask you something. I just thought of something. Okay. So you specialize in these difficult-to-treat conditions. I think that's awesome. You list hypothyroidism as one of them. Should it really be that hard for us to treat?
I don't think.
Are we just missing it?
I don't think it should be hard to think if the doctor is willing to think. But before I started this practice a good 12 years ago, I worked in an HMO that I saw 48 patients a day. And when you're seeing patients every 5 to 10 minutes, well, what happens is you run over with one. Now you have to spend like 2 minutes with the next one to be able to make up the time. And if you're not spending enough time with a patient, you don't have time to think. And you're just looking at a lab report and moving the meat.
So that's when you look at the numbers. The numbers look normal. Oh, you're fine. Move on to the next person.
Exactly. It's not doing medicine. It's just moving the meat. And that's why functional medicine doctors will often spend not just 5 minutes or 10 minutes with patients. They'll spend an hour or longer with new patients. And that's what I do and a lot of my colleagues do.
Oh, that's awesome. An hour. No, that's almost unheard of today. Let's go back into, so you talked about briefly this resistant thyroid syndrome. Can you tell us a little bit more what that is?
Well, there's some specific names for them. One is called Allen Herndon Dudley syndrome, where you have a gene defect, but you could also have acquired forms of thyroid hormone resistance because of different drugs or toxins or antibodies or autoimmune conditions. And that if the thyroid hormone flows through your bloodstream, doesn't mean it's actually getting into your brain cell, doesn't mean it's getting into the nucleus of the brain cell to actually turn on some genes, to be able to make some proteins, to be able to make the brain cell work the way it should. And if you don't have enough thyroid in your brain, you get the brain fog, memory concentration issue. And the same thing goes to hold for hair follicle cells or muscle cells or other cells of your body. And so there are a lot of people that have thyroid hormone resistance, and it's quite common. But there aren't really great blood tests because any test you do, one, might cost a lot of money and you stop doing tests when you run out of money. And the second thing is that if you do the wrong test or not the test that actually was the right one that would pick up a condition, you get a false sense of reassurance. And so I think the thing to do sometimes is to actually do a history and physical exam of the patient and treat accordingly.
Where does reverse T3 fall into this? Doesn't that become an issue with some people?
Yes, reverse T3 is a type of T3 hormone that doesn't work at all. It's like a brake pedal. But you sometimes activate this brake pedal for no reason at all. It's almost like a sandal in Florida where you wear sandals. The sandals get stuck underneath the brake pedal, and now things don't work the right way.
And yeah, that's happened to me, by the way.
Yeah, I can imagine. It's a pretty big thing. And so some people that are low in selenium or other minerals or vitamins could have more reverse T3. That means they're going to have a slower metabolism, even though their total T3 level looks just fine. And some people that are exposed to toxins, would be dioxins or cadmium or mercury or lead, they also could have a high reverse T3, even though their lab tests look just fine. And so I check reverse T3, and I adjust this test based on the total T3 levels as a ratio, reverse T3 divided by total T3. And when I see ratios greater than 13%, I say the person's making a lot more reverse T3 than maybe someone else. Is it appropriate or not? And a lot of times it's totally inappropriate, and we have to do something about it.
Well, okay, so what would be, I don't want to spend too much more time here because I'm going to move into how you like to treat thyroid, but what, so T4 at the tissue level, T4 is the main hormone made in the thyroid gland. I think most of my listeners understand that. It travels, T4 travels to the tissue, and at the tissue you get the conversion to the T3, correct? So what is going on? Why does T4 sometimes create this reverse T3 and not the good active T3? Have we looked at that before?
Well, I've looked at it, and when I see people low in selenium, for example, that they're not consuming food from the central United States where there's a lot of selenium in the soil, what happens is that they don't make their active T3 properly, and it won't show up on a lab test. You unless you check a selenium level specifically. And so people will acquire these conditions where they don't make thyroid hormone properly based on their genes, but also their environment and the combination of the two. And the treatment I do for them is I will replace the minerals and vitamins that they're often low in. Low vitamin D is another issue that I often see here in Florida even. And so replace vitamins and minerals. I'll remove toxins as possible, if possible. Sometimes I can't make it so people stop their job working at a steel mill, but I could do it the best I can. And the third thing is that I will replace with thyroid medication. And natural desiccated thyroid is often the thyroid medication of choice.
Oh, perfect leadway. Let's get right into how you like to treat that. Tell us about this natural desiccated thyroid.
Well, natural desiccated thyroid has been around for over 2,000 or 3,000 years. The Chinese have used this as treatment. In the Western world, we're talking about England, Scotland, America, it's been around since 1880, and it's been the treatment of choice up till around 1955 when one company got a patent for 50 years, unheard of, but 50 years of patent protection for a T4-only drug, and the market dominance of all their marketing caused mainstream medicine to only go to T4 drugs such as Synthroid and Levoxyl. However, natural desiccated thyroid has been used from 1880 in the Western world and with great success. And there are so many articles, not just in the medical literature, but even the New York Times, where you see dramatic effects. Like I point out one article from 1908 where the title article is Medicine Aids Girl Who Never Grew Up, where this 23-year-old was looking like as a small little girl, 33 inches in height, and couldn't speak any words. And they started her on thyroid hormone, natural desiccated thyroid. They started her on a high dose, actually a quite high dose of 12 grains, which is unheard of for people to prescribe that much as a end dose, much less a starting dose. And the patient did extremely well. She started growing height, cutting teeth, talking like all the time. Basically, she was a totally different person. They called her one less Peter Pan in the world. Dramatic effects. And so their thyroid hormone resistance has been described over 100 years ago in the New York Times.
And that was, she was using the desiccated thyroid?
Yeah, she was using thyroid extract, natural desiccated thyroid. Right.
Now, how is it made exactly?
Well, there's one company in the Western Hemisphere in America that basically takes thyroid glands from pigs. They get them all together and they dry them out and standardize the powder to have exactly the same amount of T4 and T3 thyroid hormones per unit weight of powder. And that's pretty concentrated. So when they ship that to other manufacturers, other pharmaceutical companies, Forest Pharmaceuticals makes Armour Thyroid, RLC makes Nature Thyroid, and Estella makes NP thyroid. There's other companies as well. Well, they will add some additives or excipients to be able to make the tablet big enough that people can actually see the damn tablet. Because if the tablet is so small, like 1/8 your pinky fingernail, you wouldn't be able to even swallow it. So they have to add some additives, and often they are something that is hypoallergenic, gluten-free, or otherwise. And some companies do a better job than others.
Yeah, So the most common prescription in this country, though, is Synthroid. That's just T4, and your body still has to convert that to the more active T3. We already know if there's some reverse T3 issues, you may not make that conversion very well, which is why some people aren't helped by Synthroid. But then we have the desiccated form, which is the T3, T4, which is how your body likes it anyway. So, and you obviously have had some great success, right, with this desiccated form. Let me give the website one more time here. Let me turn my page over. You can go learn more about Dr. Wallener at holisticfamilymed.com. It's a great website full of a lot of good information. Thanks for coming on, Dr. Wallener. This is Healthy Talk on Radio MD. I'm Dr. Mike. Stay well.